Good evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm John Tanza, working on this pre-recorded program via remote in Washington. Here are some of the top stories making news across Sudan and South Sudan this Thursday, January 20, 2022. Authorities in eastern Equatoria State say families are fleeing their villages due to hunger.
Last month, we've been receiving people from Kapota East, especially the Nye community, and who are fleeing the area due to water shortages and hunger.
And some communities in Upper Nile State benefit from South Sudan's oil revenues.
There are some of the demonstrations that have been made in 2020, and this demonstration, it is the youth who are asking the development, including all the things that I have mentioned, electricity, education.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. Local officials in eastern Equatoria State say thousands of people are fleeing their villages in Kapoita East County due to hunger. Some have fled neighboring counties and others have crossed into neighboring Ethiopia. The county commissioner for Kapoita North confirms more than 3,000 people from Kapoita East have arrived his county and called for humanitarian agencies to assist them. For VOA News, Winnie Chirino reports from Juba.
Epone Emmanuel, the Kapoita North County Commissioner, says villagers fleeing hunger in Kapoita East County have been arriving in his area for more than a month.
Last month, we've been receiving people from Kapoita East, especially the Nye community, and who are fleeing the area due to water shortages and hunger. So this month, January, the number has been increasing rapidly and also raising concerns to the community in Kapoita North County. These people are really suffering, and all of them have come to our area, including children, elderly people, women, and the community at the moment is helping them. They are sharing with them the little they have.
Emmanuel says most of those who fled are in a payam called Wakobo. He says government officials visited the area a week ago and counted 3,500 people sheltering there. He says he was informed many others have sought shelter in other villages. Patrick Oting, Minister for Information in Eastern Equatoria State, says the state government is aware of the situation and is working with the Relief and Rehabilitation Commission to support those who fled. He says the government, however, foresees some challenges.
It might take a bit longer, you know, to have the issue of the water in place, you know, with our humanitarian partners. But with the issue of the food, I believe sooner or later on, hopefully, with the message that the RRC is putting across to our humanitarian organizations might help. But the good thing also, you have called as the Voice of America, and many people are listening to the Voice of America. So we would also put as a state, as Eastern Equatoria State, a request to all our implementing partners of the Republic of South Sudan, especially the humanitarian organizations, to come into this issue, to look into it if they can able to intervene as soon as possible with the issue of food supplies and the water.
Emmanuel says more people are arriving to Kapoita North County every day.
Every day, the people keep coming, there are about 200. Especially women, children, and elderly people. They are suffering. They need health attention, especially nutrition services to the children and elderly people, and also the water. That area where they are in my area, there is also have experiencing the challenges of water. They are sharing the dam. That small dam, I'm sure it will not last them for 1 month because the same dam suffering the livestock and human being, and also there is no food. The little food they get, they eat little.
Emmanuel says the internally displaced persons eat once a day, something he says poses a risk to their health. He says now that the villagers in his county are sharing the little food that they have with the IDPs, he worries people in his county may fall victim to hunger very soon if no action is taken right away.
We need an urgent intervention to help this community in terms of non-food items and food items and medical service. And also I'm appealing to the national government and our international partners and all humanitarian organizations. We need to find a solution to these people in their area. If the problem is the challenge of water, then there is a need to consider giving them either more dams and then drill them more boreholes.
Emmanuel says the county authority is planning to carry out a mass assessment in the whole county to determine the exact number of people who have fled to the area. For VOA News, I am Winnie Sereno in Juba.
Some members of Melut County in Upper Nile State have welcomed a decision by county authorities to use money from oil sales to improve education in the area. This after county authorities hired primary and secondary school teachers from neighboring Uganda to improve learning in the area. Dengai Deng reports for VOA from Bor.
Melut County resident Gabriel Bull says there are not enough qualified teachers in the area and many children are not in school either because there is no school for them to attend or parents cannot pay private school fees. He says the move to hire more qualified teachers will improve the education sector.
It's very important. Some of the parents, they don't have capacity to pay the school fees. If the county authority decided to say that the 3% will be on the teachers to educate the children, it is very important. It is a very good decision. Even me, I'm supporting that.
Members of the community in Oil Rich Malut County have staged several demonstrations in the past to demand development projects in the area. Bull says while he is grateful that county officials use 3% of oil revenues to improve the quality of local schools, he is urging them to do more by implementing other projects such as improving the health sector and building roads.
There are some of the demonstrations that have been made in 2020, and this demonstration, it is the youth who are asking the development, including all the things that I have mentioned, electricity, education and water, clean water. So they're asking this because they want development, even the roads for the access from Payam to Payam. So these are the things, and they are very important, by the way. If they put this one into action, even the people can be there, okay, this is the development that we want.
Melut resident Mawien Both also welcomes the decision by the commissioner to hire more teachers and increase the teacher salaries with the 3% oil share that is returned to the community.
It is very good to hire professional teachers because education is the future of the community. The commissioner has done a good thing. The children need to be educated. And that is the best way to do it. The community members were not happy when they saw no development and children were not learning while the share of oil was being taken. Now that is a good start, and we hope more good things will be done for the people.
Melut County Commissioner Deng Joe says the 100 professional teachers who have been hired from Uganda will each earn a monthly salary of $200 for a primary school teacher and $300 for a secondary school teacher. Joe says the county administrations will also provide for the teachers' accommodations.
The demonstrations were done in the area because the community members say the area is oil producing and they expect development. The 3% is our right, and as we speak, we are using it for development. We have constructed offices, and next month we will open a blood bank and many other things will happen. So I see that there will be no more protests because we are now doing what the community demanded.
Young people in the Palut area of Malut County staged several peaceful protests over the past 2 years, demanding that Chinese Malaysian Oil Consortium, DPOC, provide corporate social responsibility services in their area by improving basic services, including roads, health services, and education. Community members in the county agreed with the government and DPOC to build roads, connect all villages to pipe water system, hire teachers, and build modern hospitals. In October last year, the Malut community announced it had received $3 million as part of their 3% oil share, according to the Petroleum Management Act. Auditor reports have indicated that the oil-producing areas in Upper Nile States, Unity State and Ruang Administrative Area have been deprived of $50 million from 2011 to 2020. For VOA News, I am Deng Gaideng in Bor.
Some members of South Sudan's Shilluk community living in Khartoum have welcomed the recent agreement signed between the SPLM-IN government and the Aguilek forces under the leadership of Johnson Oloñ. The deal provides for the return of all occupied land in Upper Nile State. Some South Sudanese refugees say they have suffered in camps, and this agreement will enable them to go back home to their ancestral lands, while their children will be able to go back to school. Michael Atit reports for VOA from Khartoum.
The SPLM in the government signed an agreement with the Aguilek Forces leader General Johnson Oloñ to resolve matters related to Cholo lands in Upper Nile State. The two parties agreed that the boundaries of Cholo land should be restored to where they stood at Sudan's independence on January 1, 1956, and as provided for in the River Talais Agreement on Resolution of Conflict in South Sudan. The agreement says the state authorities should assist in returning homes and shops illegally occupied in Melekal and other towns in Upper Nile State to allow the rightful owners return to them. Rafael Boga Amum fled the conflict in Melekal town in 2013. Speaking to South Sudan in Focus shortly after the signing ceremony in Khartoum on Sunday, he congratulated both parties for reaching an agreement, something he says will allow displaced persons to return to their ancestral homes. Amum says he is so happy about this agreement and his hope is that they will be fully implemented. We want to see it implemented and we go back to our land, he says. Our women and children have suffered for so long and they didn't go to school, Amum says. The agreement requires Cholo and Dinka Apadan communities in Upper Nile and Reng to engage in a peaceful dialogue to find solutions to land matters and promote peaceful coexistence. Victoria Arob Udong, who signed the agreement as a women's representative, says the displacement has caused them suffering, deprived their children an education, and led some youth to engage in antisocial behaviors. She welcomes the Peace and Reconciliation Initiative and says these will help in restoring social fabric among different communities in Upper Nile State.
Because of this war, makes everybody to fear, we are fearing one another. So now with this agreement, I think something like peace and reconciliation will be met so that everybody will really be satisfied and be in his own place, convinced to be in his place soon.
War broke out in 2013 in Upper Nile State between South Sudan's government and the SPLA-IO, which forced thousands of people to cross into Sudan. Most of the displaced moved to camps in Sudan's White Nile State and Khartoum. Udong says the displaced Cholo communities have been waiting a long time for such an agreement so they can return to their homes and begin to develop the area once again.
The IDPs themselves, they will go back because now, before, they don't have a land, they don't have a place to stay. It's their land was being allocated to other people. The agreement we sign is everybody should go to his place where he used to stay before the 32 state.
Another Cholo community member, Ubeng Deng Agog, says his house in Melekal has been occupied by someone else who has threatened him. He says he would be really happy to see his house given back to him and his children so they can resettle.
People have really suffered a lot. We want our people, those who are in the displaced camps, and then POCs, and those who are in refugee camps in Sudan, we want them, and those also who have gone in diaspora, so that they can come back. We need peace, so that we come and develop our beloved country, South Sudan.
The peace agreement says the headquarters of Makal County should be in Melekal town, and any claims or conflict over this should be further resolved by the communities or inhabitants of Upper Nile State with government's facilitation. Some critics of the agreement say it has little value since the South Sudan government did not sign it. For VOA News, I am Michael Atit in Khartoum.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. Coming up, some South Sudanese are looking for peace during sports activities. Find out why after this break.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today... How would you advise someone who is struggling in life?
To just keep going, eh? Like life is full of ups and downs, eh? So it's the way you're able to maneuver, is the way you're able to, because life will give you what you accept. So if you are defeated and you feel you are defeated, then that's all.
He or she should not give up, because once you struggle, you never know, one time you can achieve what you want.
Not to give up so easily, because if you want to succeed in life and you give up on something that you want to do so easily, there is no way you can go forward and succeed in whatever you're doing.
I'll tell him not to watch his present situation now, but to still forge ahead and push towards his goal. He should also have a goal and then work towards it.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. A South African study has found the Omicron variant of COVID-19 is less severe than previous ones, even for the unvaccinated. The country's top scientist says this could be good news for bringing an end to the pandemic, as the highly contagious variant also spread resistance. Linda Giftash reports from Johannesburg.
South Africans no longer have to race to get home before midnight. A curfew imposed at the beginning of the coronavirus pandemic was finally scrapped ahead of New Year's Eve. Now, Dr. Marianne Davies, a professor of epidemiology at the University of Cape Town, says there's more good news about the latest coronavirus variant, Omicron.
We see about a 25% lowering of the risk of death, so about 1.3 times lower risk of death. And so that makes us think that residual effect, that 25% reduction, could be the true effect due to lower virulence of the Omicron compared to previous variants.
So that reduction is compared to the previous Delta variant, which was more severe than the original virus. The study, which has yet to be peer-reviewed, found Omicron to be similar in severity to the first wave. Davy says a major difference now is that prior infections and vaccinations help reduce hospitalizations and deaths. While Omicron evaded vaccines and reinfected people, Dr. Shabir Madi, a professor of vaccinology at the University of the Witwatersrand, says that's not necessarily a bad thing.
It's going to boost immune responses in people that were previously infected. It's going to boost immune responses in people that have been vaccinated. And it will also result in further immunity in people that haven't been previously infected or vaccinated up until now. The data is quite compelling. That people that have this hybrid immunity, vaccine together with infection, in fact, they probably got a better immune response.
Scientists emphasize getting the virus is no substitute for a vaccine. Death rates remain highest among people who aren't inoculated. Official government figures say over 93,000 lives have been lost. Davies says getting sick has other consequences.
But even a mild variant can cause a lot of chaos for a health service, for a number of reasons. The one is with these very high transmission rates. You get a lot of people infected at any one time, and that includes healthcare workers. And so that means that you've got a lot of people who are off work and often their contacts needing to be quarantined, and that can have huge impacts.
Still, the promise of less stringent protocols is welcome to businesses hurting from nearly 2 years of curfews and lockdowns. Alex Zabo is the owner of the Antisocial Club, a bar and restaurant in Johannesburg.
There was a big conversational point on the 28th of December, where do we stay closed or do we reopen? And the reason we reopened was these extra 3 hours. We do believe that there has to be a brighter day coming.
Whether increased immunity amid fewer restrictions will be enough to ward off the worst effects of the coronavirus will be tested by future variants. Linda Giftash for VOA News, Johannesburg.
And now for some sports news. Nigerian football fans are cheering their team, the Super Eagle, at home and in Cameroon, which is hosting the Africa Football Cup of Nations tournament. That includes hundreds of Nigerian refugees and people displaced by Boko Haram terrorism along the border with Cameroon. Mokiedu and Kinzika reports for VOA from Yaounde.
Cameroon's state CRTV shows Nigerian football fans singing the Nigerian national anthem and cheering for its national football team, the Super Eagles, in northern Garoua City. Garoua is hosting the Africa Football Cup of Nations, or the AFCON, group matches for teams from Egypt, Guinea-Bissau, Nigeria and Sudan. The Confederation of African Football says thousands of Nigerian supporters have come to Garoua, but hundreds of them didn't have to travel far. 19-year-old Nigerian Mohammed Chiruma Faiza has lived in Cameroon's Minawawa refugee camp on the border with Nigeria for 6 years. She fled her village in Nigeria's northeast Borno State after Boko Haram militants attacked their school. Speaking on CRTV, she says authorities helped her and more than 20 other female team Nigeria supporters to watch the AFCON matches in Garoua.
I come to support Nigeria because it is my country. Anywhere I go, I can never forget my country. I can never forget Nigeria. I want Nigerian people to play very well and win this match.
The UN's refugee agency, UNHCR, says there are 68,000 Nigerian refugees in Cameroon's Minawawa camp. They elected Isaac Luka, who has lived in the camp since 2014, as their leader. Luka also fled Borno State in June 2014 after Boko Haram terrorists killed more than 20 people in his village, including his family. Speaking from Garoua, he says cheering on Nigeria's football team shows how much the refugees love their country and hope for peace so they can one day return home.
I take football as a way of resolving problems. If you look at the match Sudan and Nigeria, you know Nigeria is facing security challenges. Sudan is facing security challenges. If the two refugees can come together and watch their players on the field, it's something that can bring unity among the refugees.
Lucas says the refugees cheered the Nigerian team to a 1-0 victory over Egypt last week and a 3-1 victory over Sudan on Saturday. Nigeria plays their third group match against Guinea-Bissau Wednesday. The UN's refugee agency, UNHCR, says they helped at least 100 Nigerian refugees in Cameroon get to stadiums to watch AFCON matches. UNHCR in Cameroon spokesperson Xavier Bourgeois says they believe strongly in the power of sports.
People, and especially young people, also have the right to enjoy, like everybody else. And so when we have this kind of opportunities to bring the refugees in the stadium, of course, we do it with a lot of pleasure. Most of the refugees come from very difficult places. They suffered a lot. They have quite a difficult history. And so that was an opportunity for us to help them to rebuild themselves.
Cameroonian authorities say besides the refugees, several hundred Nigerians displaced by Boko Haram terrorists are also in Garoua to support the Nigerian football team. Moki Edwin Kinzuka for VOA News, Yaoundé, Cameroon.
And in South Sudan, local leaders and communities in Twitch County of Warab State have welcomed the revival of the Twitch Olympics, which are aimed at promoting peaceful coexistence in the area. The Twitch Olympic, which started in 1999, collapsed in 2010. Local leaders in Twitch are urging communities in other parts of the country to stop intercommunal fighting and embrace sports. Viola Elias attended the games that concluded this week and files this report from Juba.
Sounds of jubilation echoed in the air as communities from six payams of Twitch County sang and danced at Turale Freedom Square on January 4, 2022, at the start of this year's editions of Twitch Olympics. Ayuel Logar, who is 20, says he is excited to see the Twitch Olympics, which his parents had told him about.
So Olympics mean a lot to us. It always bring unity, peace and love among the people of Twitch Mayadit. So when people, when it has started again like this, it mean a lot because we have come back together again as people of one community, and we need to spot so many talent on the ground again as we used to do before. So I would like to urge you people as a young person, let us stop all those killings for cattle. And we indicate ourselves to things matters to human development. Thing to do with school, thing to do with sport.
Malang Deng, who drove all the way from Juba to support his communities in the Twitch Olympics, says his sport have always been a unifying factor among communities. Deng says many people from Twitch stayed in the capital city and they have not been visiting home.
I have been away from Twitch, but I managed to turn up for Olympic because to my community, it means unity. It is the happiness to the youth, and if it is the happiness to the youth, everyone is supporting. And that's why we managed to travel all along from Juba to come here to support the community who support peace.
The games include volleyball for both men and women, football for men, basketball, and a tug of war. The six competing Payams in the Twitch Olympics are Aweng, Akoch, Ajakwach, Panyuak, and Turalei. Chol Gir, secretary of Twitch Olympics Association, says the youth in Twitch County decided to revive the games to promote peaceful coexistence and togetherness.
This is a youth-led program, and it is peace and cultural thing. It is a sport for peace that is bringing the communities together, young people to come and explore their talents, their expertise, and see how they can discover opportunities as they go along with life. You know, South Sudan has the largest population of young people. And when you give young people space to exploit the talent, then you have helped the nation.
Gir says in the past, the Payam that emerged the winner received a new grinding machine for producing flour and a small amount of money from the Twitch Olympics Association. Gir urges the government to initiate sport for peace activities, saying that is the only way to engage young people in national building in South Sudan. Achwil Malit Bangol, the founder of what used to be known as Olympics Program, says he is very pleased to see youth of Twitch Mayardit community coming together to revive what he started. Bangol says sports helped train him to have values of sportsmanship, friendship, collaboration, teamwork, and interdependence. He says in 1999, he saw how sport unite and draw together so many young people in one place, so he initiated Twitch Olympic in his community.
In the afternoon, while sitting with my former coach, who was chatting, and then we saw two people playing with volleyball. So we just walked to them. And then when we walked to them, we started getting involved. And when we got involved, we saw many people coming out from their tents, from all different corners of Ajib. And it pulled a lot of crowd. Then I asked my coach, this is what sports can do? And he said, yes. So I asked him, coach, we not do this? He said, yes. So I told him, can we not organize it in my place?
Bangol says the Olympics are going to be an annual event, which will be held in December. For VOA News, I am Viola Elias in Juba.
That's all we prepared for you this Thursday. We now end the show by taking you to Eastern Equatorial State with the song Loso. We've been listening to a Madi song from Eastern Equatorial State. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Thanks for taking your time to be with us this evening. Remember to always wash your hands with soap. Practice social distancing and wear a mask when you're in public places to protect you and others from getting COVID-19. Do not escape from COVID-19 quarantine centers because there's no cure for coronavirus. Join us again tomorrow evening for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.
Don't you sutara,